Welcome to the Bridgeway Community Church Sunday Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Bridgeway, visit our website at bridgeway.cc. To watch this and all of our sermons, visit our YouTube channel and be sure to subscribe while you're there. For sermon notes, click the link in the description. Today, we continue our series called Next Gen Faith, Emerging Leaders Speaking God's Word. Anthony Patton, who leads Bridgeway's Leverage Ministry for young adults, will teach us that success is found in what we leverage for Christ right now. So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's sermon.
Good day to you. I'm Dr. David Anderson, founding pastor here at Bridgeway Community Church. It's been a joy to be able to worship together, to share in the Last Supper together, to be able to hear testimonies of people who are saying, what would I even say to my younger self? Maybe during the communion you were thinking, man, I may not really know Christ, but I'd like to know Christ. Well, guess what? You can invite Christ into your life and even participate in communion and go back and watch it over and do it for the first time as a believer. What a wonderful opportunity to trust Christ and then take the Lord's Supper. Well, this church has been going on for 30 years, and we've been thinking about the number 30, and one of the things that's important for us is the 30 different ways that we have challenged you to grow to become mature and mighty in Christ. I don't want to wait till the end of the year to ask how you're doing with it, so I'm asking you now. We said choose at least three areas where you could grow. If you go to bridgeway.cc/30, you'll see the 30 different challenges. We said choose at least three to help you grow. And so maybe it's praying with me on the 30th of every month for 30 minutes from 7:30 to 8 o'clock live on Zoom, or whether it's the Bible studies that we do every Thursday for 30 minutes at 12 o'clock, or the 30 possessions that you give away. Listen, friends, I hope that you are growing in your relationship with Christ. But it's not about the last 30 years, it's about the next 30. And that's why we started a brand new series called Next Gen Faith. And we're in the second installment of a five-week series starting, it started last week, which was the last week in the tent in Columbia, Maryland. And today's gonna be the first week back in our auditorium in Columbia, Maryland after 20 months of not being in that auditorium. So I cannot wait to see those of you in the Columbia area today at noon. But right now, I want you to think about the next 30 years of your life. And if God allows you to live, how are you going to grow your faith? Well, in this series, The Next Gen Faith, we've had young speakers and we'll have them for the next several weeks. Last week to close out the tent was Will Eastham. He was assigned the topic of love. Next week, Cody Michener, 27 years old, assigned the topic of leadership. The following week, Rachel Taylor, 26 years old, who's going to be talking about listening and listening to God and one another. And then we'll end the series with legacy, where Kevin Turpin II will teach us about a legacy that will live on forever. But today, Anthony Patton, he's the head of our young adult ministry and millennial ministry here at Bridgeway Community Church called Leverage, something I started many, many years ago, and he's at the helm of that. He's also a Christian rap artist, and he brought out his first CD or single or cut in August 2021. And if you want to check that out, make sure you check it out, High Def Tone. You can find that release of his first full-length project from August 2021, and just check out highdeftone.com. If you want to learn more about Leverage, go to Instagram, Leverage Ministry as well. He was born and raised in Philadelphia. He's done some different roles in campus ministry and pastoral ministry and pastoral armor bearing. And he is a man that works regularly now with ladies who are released from prison. And he's trying to help them through this organization called Pivot, a nonprofit organization that provides women returning from prison opportunities and access to life skills and holistic resources. Most of all, he's a follower of the Lord. He's a leader in our ministry. He's single but accounted for, 37 years old. Come on up. Give yourself a hand clap in your living room right now for Anthony Patton. We're so glad that you're here, Anthony. Bring us the word of God and welcome to the stage, brother.
Thank you.
Go get him.
Well, Bridgeway, I'm so excited to be here to release this message to you all. Before I even get started, I just wanted to open us up in a little prayer, if that's okay. Lord, we just thank you for what you're going to do. Pray that you just allow, you just use me, minister through me, and allow your spirit to just flow in this place and articulate your word like only you can. In the mighty master's name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So, super excited to be here, Bridgeway, just to talk to you about this word. The title of my message, if you're waiting for it, is, you could be one of those note-taking people, so it's Leverage the Gift. And the goal of this message is so that the body of Christ can awaken to the call of Christ and leverage every gift that he's given to us. So I want to start off by just addressing what the Merriam-Webster Dictionary says about leverage. It's two definitions. One is influence or power used to achieve a desired result. The increase in force gained by using a lever is another. And I just want to double click on that point, the influence or power used. Because as Christians, there's an influence and there's a power that we're given. Jesus tells us that greater works than these shall you do. And that's what we're going to focus on today, talking about those things that God has called us to and compelled us to. And if I could give you a working definition of leverage just so we can move through this, it would be using something to increase potential. I'm not talking about what you naturally are able to do. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about increasing the potential. There's things in our life that we can't do alone. And if we leverage this gift, we'll be able to increase potential. So if you're excited about that, right now in the chat, if you want to, just put leverage the gift. Amen? So, leverage is beneficial whenever you're utilizing and moving weights. If you look at that second definition, it said to increase or an increase in force gain by using a lever. And see, Jesus knew that we, in his infinite wisdom, that we would have weights that we would need assistance moving. So he gave us this gift so that we can leverage those things. There will be weights that we might not even think that he's concerned with. Weights that may be too heavy for us to carry by ourselves as we're walking around and trying to engage through life. Sometimes those weights may be so heavy that we actually break underneath them. And it's in our brokenness that we actually come to a place of surrender. But Jesus had accounted for all of that. He gave us this ability so that we can leverage. He knew what those weights would do to our souls, and he offered us an opportunity to leverage. He says to us in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, and this is in the ESV, "Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus uses his influence to produce rest from lifting burdens you were never meant to carry. I'll say that again. Jesus uses his influence to produce rest from lifting burdens you were never meant to carry. We have these battles that are fruitless, some of them. And what Jesus wants us to do is to be able to move into a deeper place with him. In the book of Hebrews, it says that we should lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run the race with endurance that is set before us. See, this race is to enter into the kingdom, to be transformed from glory to glory, to be transformed by the word of God and not the tasks and works that you were given to perform. See, what God doesn't want is he doesn't want us to have qualifiers. What he wants is for us to come to him and learn how to leverage, utilizing his ability. It says, take my yoke and learn of me, and I will give you rest. Because he knew that those weights would be things that were too heavy for us to bear alone. And he just wants our souls to prosper. So I have a question for you. Do you know what's in you? Do you know who called you? Do you really? I often have to ask myself these kind of questions. I often have to remind myself. I forget that he's outside of time and space. So he truly knows what tomorrow brings. Sometimes I'm guilty and I forget that he designed me and knows even the secret things that I try to hide. I forget that he knew me before the foundations of the world, that he spoke over me in the womb of my mother, and that he's my portion and my refuge and my strong tower. I forget that although I opened my mouth and prayed the prayer that saved me, it was by his will that I'm saved. Maybe you forget that too. If you were one of those note-taking people, what I want you to do is jot this down. Jesus saves us. We don't save ourselves. I'll say that again. Jesus saves us. We don't save ourselves. And that goes back to these weights that I was talking about that we're trying to carry. These qualifiers even that we may be trying to uphold. Jesus, his name is salvation. His name is victory. And he wants us to move in it and live in that in a true place. Not in an artificial one that we made up with our own qualifiers. He wants us to leverage him. Jesus told his disciples, you didn't choose me, I chose you. So we have to lean into that fact and then leverage that for success. In John 15 and 16, the whole verse it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you, that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in my name, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This is the same chapter where Jesus tells us to abide in me and I in you, and a branch cannot bear fruit by itself. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And that's John 15 and 4. See, these things that Jesus is telling us, how, and he's telling his disciples, you didn't choose me. Sometimes we walk around with this sense of entitlement, sometimes holding our salvation over God's head like it's a golden ticket, trying to use it and manipulate it like, God, I'm saved. You should do this. Sometimes we have this sense of entitlement, and that's not the way that God wants us to walk with him. He wants us to abide in him truly, not just for things, but abide in him because of the gift that he's given us. Sometimes we could be doing it in such a manipulative fashion, and God wants to move us away from that to a place of purity. See, if you were listening to the message last week, Will even told us that we have to move from a me-centered place to a we-centered place. And when you start to understand and acknowledge that you cannot do this alone, that's when you know that you are truly leveraging the power that God gave you. I'll say this so I can further insinuate the point. Jesus was on the cross, beaten, whipped, bloody. He got nails in his hands and his feet, had a crown of thorns pressed into his head after already being whipped with a cat of nine tails. And somehow we think and try to leverage words that we spoke out of our mouth to be an equivalent, like that's an even exchange. And it's not. What God is doing when he's telling us to abide in the vine is he's actually giving us a moment that we can leverage and see his power and his sovereign love for us. And here's the takeaway. Leverage the vine to abide in the vine. I'll say it again. Leverage the vine to abide in the vine. So, For all my people out there, public service announcement. If you are looking to find purpose, focus on bringing glory to God. It's a lot of people who may be struggling with that. Oh, I really want to know what my purpose is. I really want to know like what I'm called to do. Here's a point of focus. Just focus on bringing glory to God. Well, Aunt, how can I do that? This is what Jesus says in John 15:8. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so become, and so prove to be my disciples. So let's clarify these two things real quick. Fruit and disciples. See, by fruit, I believe Jesus is talking about the fruit of the Spirit, those things that can be found in Galatians 5:20-22. And by disciples, disciples just means disciplined ones. So watch this. If you really start thinking about what glorifies God, it's his fruit. And when you look at those attributes, love, peace, and joy, and goodness, and kindness, and long-suffering, and all those things, those aren't things that we're just waking up subscribing to. Those are things that we have to leverage his power for. Amen? So that's what creates the disciple, the disciplined ones. Because these aren't things that we really, like, naturally bear fruit. We don't naturally bear love. We don't naturally bear goodness. If I was to list those things that we naturally bear, they wouldn't sound like that. Nothing like that. So if we just continue to leverage the vine, we'll have proof that we are the disciples because of the fruit that's in our lives. So if you're looking for purpose, this could be helpful to you. And the key to finding purpose is first leverage the vine and become disciplined. I want y'all to write this point down too. Purpose is a responsibility. And without discipline, we are unresponsive to the purpose. I'll say it one more time. Purpose is a responsibility. And without discipline, we are unresponsive to the purpose. Just think about it. Something as simple as washing dishes. When you don't want to do it or you're not disciplined enough to do it, those things will just continue to pile up and pile up and pile up. It takes a certain level of discipline to be able to clean your house. It takes a certain level of discipline to finish those assignments at work. And that's the same thing that God is calling us to. If you're really trying to find your purpose in God, just continue to abide in him. Leverage his power so that that power, you can take it on, and then you'll be able to bear these fruit that he's talking about. So here's the takeaway. Leverage the discipline, and then carry out the mission. So, here's the truth. God wants you to find purpose in him. He built us as vessels and containers to hold his purpose. So here's some perspective. How we perceive what's in us determines what we pour or what isn't poured out of us. How we perceive what is in us determines what is or is not poured out of us. Let me elaborate. See, you can either trust that he's giving you the substance and will continue to give it to you, or you can believe that you don't have enough, so you actually start hoarding everything that God is giving you because you're waiting for an opportune time to be qualified or to feel like you have enough. The first outlook, that's leverage-driven. That's not determined upon you. The second outlook, it's fear-driven. Leverage-driven believers put their trust in the one who is able. Fear-driven believers put their trust in acquiring enough to feel stable. If I could be honest, half of the time, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just like, God, I'm here. Use me. And he's been doing it. That's the crazy part. And it's really just leaning into the gift that he's given me. And I know that that's the key. When you even listen to Jesus talking throughout his ministry, he never gives credit to himself. He always gives credit to the Father. Even Jesus is leveraging throughout his ministry. Amen? See, God's not pointing to what you don't have. He's pointing to what you do. And sometimes we're looking at ourselves, condemning ourselves, because we're talking about all the things that we don't have. And he's not worried about that. Can I give you some scriptural proof? Because there's a bunch. So, the woman with a little bit of oil. Elijah says, well, what do you have? Ezekiel in the valley with the dry bones. He had to rely on the Spirit of God. He had to rely on what God was telling him to do. He had to rely on that prophecy. David with the sling. Who kills giants with slings and rocks? This guy who just relied on what he had. And I'm going to double click on that just for a moment because I thought it was interesting. They're getting ready to give David Saul's armor, I believe it was. Saul's shield, Saul's sword. And David's like, no, it's okay. This is what I know. See, sometimes what we're doing, even when we're trying to qualify ourselves, is we're relying on, or we may be relying on all this other extra stuff that we think that we need. But David understood that he just had to get back to the basics. He didn't need something that was going to be too heavy for him and weigh him down. That's one of those weights that we were talking about earlier. I know how to do this. The lion and the bear, I already learned this when I was in the wilderness, when I was taming the sheep and keeping the sheep. He just relied on what he had. You have to know what you have. You have to understand that what God has given you is enough. And that's what David recognizes. What God's given me enough, he's going to pull me through. Are you doing that? Are you leveraging the gift? If you are, just put leveraging the gift in the chat right now. Moses and his staff, God asked them at the Red Sea, what did you have in your hand? We can talk about the miracle of feeding the 5,000. Jesus asked them. They say, well, should we go and spend all this denarii so that we can buy food for all the people? Jesus turns around and asks them, what do you have? The onus keeps coming back on us. And God is saying, well, what do you already have? Stop making excuses for the things you don't. What do you already have? Are you using that right now? Are you maximizing it? Are you leveraging that right now? Are you using that so that you can increase your potential? Are you making excuses? We all have something and we all can do something. In Matthew 25 and 21, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful and trustworthy over a little. I will put you in charge of many things. Share in the joy of your master. That's in the Amplified. So it was the little that you were faithful with. We think that it has to be the much, that it has to be the overflowing. And God's like, no, are you just being faithful with the little that I gave you? Are you utilizing that? Are you leveraging that? Are you maximizing that? Are you putting that in my hands? Because when we put all of those examples where people putting the little that they have in the hands of God, and in the hands of God, what he does is he multiplies it. He doesn't add to it. He multiplies it. He makes it do things that confound the wise. So leverage him. Put it in his hands. So, here's another takeaway for you. Leverage what's in your sphere and live above the fear. So now, let's get into the gift. The Holy Spirit, the cheat code, is what I like to call them. In John 1, we hear that Jesus is the very word of God, and that not only he was there in the beginning, but was the thing creating. In John 1:2-5, it says this: He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was the life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I think that's so cool, because what John is actually alluding to is the book of Revelations during creation. So before light was spoken into existence, the Bible tells us that everything was chaotic, that the earth was without form, that it was void, that darkness was on the face of the deep. But after light is spoken and you really pay attention to what God starts doing, is he takes something that is void and without form, something that is chaotic, and once light comes into play, and you look at what God is doing in Genesis 1, he starts organizing. He starts putting containers and building containers and putting containers in those things. That's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to use that very word that he gave us to start organizing the chaos. God isn't doing something new. He's been doing it since the beginning, speaking to chaos and organizing it because he puts his light there. Are you leveraging that light in your life? This is why he wants us to leverage him in the vine. This is why he wants us to leverage him to pull our weights, because Jesus wants to eliminate our chaos. He wants to speak to it. But wait, if that's not good enough, there's even more. This same word, this same light became a man and walked the earth for 33 years and lived a sinless life. He was able to commune with his Father, the one who spoke him in the beginning, through his connection with the Spirit. That same Spirit that was in him, that was cultivating this power and employing him to live this sinless life. Well, guess what? On the cross, Jesus says, "It is finished." But before he says that, he says, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And that same spirit, that same one that was able to resurrect him from the grave, is the same spirit that he gave us. That's an amen moment if I don't know one. We have a spirit that is inside of us. Because we are joint heirs, because we accepted the call that raises the dead and speaks organization and light to chaos. Leverage it. Jesus says of this spirit, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." And later, he says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you." That's so important, because the job of the Holy Spirit in all of that context is to reveal this word. It's to reveal this word that has creative ability and creative power. That's so powerful to leverage, because that means it can speak to storms and cause them to cease. It can speak to storms in your mind, maybe not even the storms around you, because sometimes those things are intentional, but it can speak to the storm in your mind to give you peace while you're in the middle of it. That's why we leverage it. It's going to reveal this word, this seed that God is implanting in us, so that we can be transformed by the washing of the water of the word. That's why we leverage it. The Apostle Paul tells us, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And then he elaborates a little further in Ephesians 1, 19 and 20, in the Amplified. He says, and so that you will begin to know what the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his active spiritual power is in us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of his mighty strength, which he produced in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Friends, we have to leverage what's within so that we can come out. Paul says we have this earthen, this immeasurable, powerful treasure in these earthen vessels talking about us. We have to leverage that. The Holy Spirit is the cheat code because it's the culmination of the power and truth of God through Jesus and the same tool that raises dead things back to life. There may be situations in your life that you think, man, this is dead. But with that gift that's inside of you, it can be raised because that gift inside of you is resurrection power. If there are areas that have died, if there are areas or things that have been broken, if there are areas where things are chaotic, where they lack order and they lack structure, where darkness abides, where betrayal may even abide, where disappointments abide, leverage the Holy Spirit. Leverage the cheat code. Leverage the life-giving force. Leverage the gift that was given when Jesus said on the cross, Father, into your hands, I commend your spirit. Leverage the gift that took an ex-fisherman who 40-some-odd days ago denied Jesus, denied knowing Jesus three times to those that were in the mob that wanted Jesus executed, but was the same man that the Spirit used to utter the words that sparked revival on the day of Pentecost, when the clothing tongues of fire came in the room. This is how powerful the gift is. That the same guy who denied them will be the same one that would be the one to speak revival. And the reason that we're still going right now. Leverage the reason that he died and was resurrected. Leverage for the generations that are in your loins. Leverage for your neighborhood, your family, and friends. Leverage because that is the call. And you can't do it alone. Amen. So we'll pray out. Lord, I thank you for this word. I pray that it blooms within us, that we truly leverage the gift that you've given us, that you truly allow your spirit to guide us and lead us into all of your truth. And we'll be sure to give your name all the power, glory, and majesty and honor is due. In Jesus' mighty, matchless name I pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you. That was a good word on leverage. Can I ask you a question about the message? Where did the passion for this message and leveraging come from as you wrote the sermon today?
You want me to look at the camera?
You can look anywhere you want.
I really think it came from just my own personal life and my own personal struggles and testimonies and just understanding that really without God, I couldn't do any of this stuff because, like I said, I half the time I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So, and I think other people need to know that he's really a rock that we can build on.
Yeah.
And if we just surrender and give him that access and give him that room, that, you know, we can do great things.
Yeah. Last question. Why do you think it is then that so many people struggle with the things that are inside of them to leverage for God? Do you think it's a misinterpretation of what's inside of them, or what stops them from being able to influence, as you said, leverage meant?
I think it's a combination of things. sometimes I just don't think that we believe. Mm. I don't think that we believe and trust God enough with what he said.
Yeah.
And culture tells us that we should be, you know, self-made. And it's all about self and helping self and not really relying on the spirit that Jesus gave us.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, thank you for bringing that word. And I am reminded of the message you referenced last week. It's about we, not just about me. But I do think we get tangled up in ourselves. And you helped us today remind us that even David with a sling or whoever God called, whatever they have, they can really leverage that for God's glory.
Yeah.
So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Based on your message, I have a few declarations that I want to make before we send you out today. Thank you so much for being with us. Make sure you share this message with your family and your friends. But I declare that Bridgeway is leveraging its influence to point people to Jesus. I declare that Bridgeway will leverage the power of God that he gave us by abiding in him. I declare that we will focus on bringing God glory and not ourselves in order to bear fruit and produce disciples by leveraging the vine.
Amen.
Two more. I declare that we will be disciplined as disciples to abide in him and seek to grow mature and mighty in Christ. And lastly, I declare that we will use, give, and leverage the little that we have and watch God multiply what we surrender to him. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to the Bridgeway Community Church Sunday Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Bridgeway, visit our website at bridgeway.cc. To watch all of our sermons, visit our YouTube channel and make sure you subscribe while you're there. If you'd like to download sermon notes, just click the link in the description. If you'd like to take part in our 30th anniversary challenge, go to bridgeway.cc/30. That's bridgeway.cc/THIRTY. Thanks again for listening, and have a great week.